Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, God's Plan for Progress, Choose Well Today, from the series Family Fortified, and shows you that worship isn't just about singing at church, it's about what we prioritize. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
We were once dead, and we were once hostile to Jesus too, and he saved us, and he's willing to save you, and so we love you. To whom? To everybody. What about people that don't deserve it? Exactly. That's why when the scribe, the attorney, comes to Jesus and says, well, where's the limits of this love? Who's my neighbor? Jesus tells him the story of the Good Samaritan to tell him, everywhere you go with everybody you see, you love them and you demonstrate that you belong to me, because that's exactly what I'm doing. Which means you have ample opportunity every day to demonstrate love to people that are unworthy of love, because that's exactly what Christ did. Jesus did not pick you because you're good. Jesus did not pick you because you're better than other people. Jesus did not pick you because Brave were better than other churches. Jesus only picked you because of his incredible love, even though you were so undeserving, you didn't deserve anything, but he came and died for you, rose for you, and invited you into the family through no work of your own, but everything he's done for you. That's love. And then we get to forgive too. We love the forgiveness of God. I love the fact that God does not hold my sin against me. I love that he separates it as far as the east is from the west. I love that he drops it into the deepest ocean. I love that he never brings it up anymore. I mean, we'll say things like this: when God forgives, he forgets. And what we mean when he forgets, he's omniscient. He hasn't forgotten anything. But what we mean when we say that is he's not going to bring it up again. I'm forgiving you. I'm releasing you. I'm letting it go. It's not coming up. I'm aware of what you've done, but I'm not holding it against you. I'm not keeping it in the bank until you mess up again, and then I'm bringing all of this stuff out. I'm forgiving you. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 32, at the end of that chapter, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Some of you, and the reason you haven't moved on in the grace of God and you're not feeling the freedom you need in God is because whether it's your mom or your dad or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or your wife or your husband or your child or your parent, you have unforgiveness. Oh, you love them and you'll love them more when they change, but I'm not forgiving that because how could I ever forgive that? Here's how, let me tell you how. Because God in Christ forgave you. And the debt that he forgave in your life is greater than any debt another human being has against you. I know that for a fact. You were dead and rebellious against the God of the universe. What has that person done? We like to say things like that. I could never forgive that. You're right. You couldn't apart from Christ. But with the Holy Spirit inside of you, you must forgive them. You must. And even we pray the Lord's Prayer. Isn't that what we pray? Lord, forgive me my debts and my sins in the same way you see me forgive other people's sins. That's the prayer. I'm asking God to forgive me with the same lavish forgiveness in the same way he sees me lavishly forgive others. And you know where a great place to start is? Your marriage, your family, with your kids, and with your mom, and with your dad. Do you know why? Because all of us are sinners. Take a look to the right and to the left of you this morning. Here's what I'll tell you. That person's blown it huge. Now look at me. I've blown it huge. Every single one of us has. Sometimes when I've done marriage counseling in the past, it's the wife, well, he did this and she did this. Here's what I know is going on when I hear that. There's no forgiveness. Yeah, he did. Yeah, she did. Now what are you going to do? Here's what you get to do. You get to forgive them, pray for them, and love them. Yeah, but they might do it again. Exactly. And then you can love them and forgive them even more. Because that's what Christ does for you. He does not run out of love and forgiveness for you, so you can't run out of love and forgiveness for others. And as you walk that way, guess what happens? You get around people that love you and forgive you enough, that'll change you. That'll change. You want to change your marriage? Just love and forgive more. You said you wanted to be more like Jesus. You said you wanted more of Christ in your marriage. Then you get to do that. You get to do it with your children, and children, you get to do it with your parents, and wives, you get to do it towards your husbands, and husbands, you get to do it towards your wife. And it's not to keep records, like, okay, I forgive you. Here we go again. Time number 432 this week. I forgive you. I mean, that's not what it means. It means I'm not bringing it up. I'm releasing you because I don't want to stay mad at you. It doesn't mean I can't tell you what you did was wrong. Doesn't mean I can't say it would mean a lot to me if, but even if you don't change, I'm still going to love you because even if I don't change, Jesus Christ still loves me. Amen. Now we love it when we talk about what Jesus is willing to do for us, but we just don't like talking about how he wants to do it through us. But make a choice today to love and forgive one another because you know why? His love never fails. His love never fails. You cannot go wrong by loving and forgiving too much. You can't go wrong by loving and forgiving too much. Let me give you a fourth one. A fourth choice you can make is obey the truth wholeheartedly. Obey the truth wholeheartedly. It means, will you go all in with Jesus? I mean, Joshua's asking this question, you know, fear the Lord, that worship him and serve him. But notice what else he says. He says, do it in sincerity and truth. It means obey the truth wholeheartedly. Will you go all in with Jesus even when the truth is uncomfortable? That's the hard part. I mean, we all say it, Brave. We love this book. I love this book. It's the inerrant, inspired word of God. Everything in here is authoritative and true. Until it's that area of my life that God's showing me that's so uncomfortable. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. Why should I have to do that? How come nobody else has? Will you obey his word that way? Right? Because that's when you're going to see God's favor and blessing in your life. Singles, let me just talk to you. You can't be praying for your spouse living immorally. You think you're escaping your parents and you think you're getting around it and all this, but all you're doing is digging yourself a rut. And all you're doing is saying, God, I'm gonna go do it this way and I'm gonna rebel against you, but I'm expecting someday it's gonna go good for me. It'll never go good for you. There's no great return on investment for immorality, for lying, for deception, for cheating, for sleeping around. Like, will you obey his word? Job 31:1 says, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully upon another woman, which means this, all pornography is wrong 100% of the time. So in case you were wondering, is it okay? No, it's not okay. You look lustfully upon a woman, you commit adultery in your heart. It's not okay. So will you obey that? Or will you say, well, I struggle with that. We have all sorts of groups that are sin management groups just to get people together to cathartically tell all their sin when they have no desire to see any of it change. It was just as quiet in first service, just so you know. Because we play games with God and we expect God to move and we're so tired that we didn't see him do it in our time, in our way, that we skirt the corners and we cheat and we do these different things. And then we wonder, why is God not helping me? And it's not just singles, it's marrieds too. I mean, friends, you look around, just because somebody has their arm around each other, they're holding hands, doesn't mean they have a 10 out of 10 in their marriage. And by the way, nobody always has a 10 out of 10 in their marriage. It takes work. Because you got two sinners and two genders that see the world two different ways, living under the same roof. And the only way it works is with the Spirit of God, glorifying God and dying to yourself to serve another. That takes effort. That takes work. Amen? But will you be obedient to what the Lord says in his word? When it comes to marriage, in case you are wondering, Jesus has a higher view of marriage than any of us do in this room. His view of marriage is one man and one woman till death do you part, permanence. That's his view of marriage. He doesn't know of anything other than that. So if you're married, stay married. Yeah, but I don't feel, okay, I hear you. He's really difficult. Stay married. Yeah, but you don't know my wife. I know, she's hard. I might not want to be married to her either. Stay married. Do you understand what I'm saying? Kim and I have been married about 20 years. We would both tell you it's the 18 best years we've ever had in our life. First 2 years were killers. Before I would get up to speak, there were times I'm calling her on the phone trying to work stuff out before I even stand up. And I was wondering, how can I even be up talking? Because we don't get along at all. And all the fun we had when we dated kind of went out the window. And it was not fun. And if there would have been anybody in our life that would have consulted us for divorce, both of us would have taken the option, not because we didn't love each other, but because we were both making each other miserable and didn't know why. And yet we have people in our life that would say, it doesn't matter how you feel. Like, what do you mean it doesn't matter how we feel? It's horrible. No, here's what matters is that you do what God wants. And by God's grace, he got both of us individually to start seeking him. And I started praying, okay, God, if I'm the problem, how do I become a good husband? And she was praying at the same time, God, how do I become the wife you want me to be? And by God's grace, it kind of melded that whole thing back together. And that's why Kim and I would say, if we can make it, anybody can make it.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Plan for Progress, Choose Well Today, from the series Family Fortified, showing you that worship isn't just about singing at church, it's about what we prioritize. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, generous friends like you make programs like this one possible. And when you give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message to listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
If you're married, stay married. Yeah, but I got divorced and now I'm remarried. So then stay married now. But this is my third marriage. Okay, well, you're married. Repent of the first ones and stay married. Right? That's what he would say. Can we do? I mean, we love God's standard until it impacts us in a negative way. But here's what I would also say. Because I'm talking to a group of sinners, I'm one of them. None of us have perfectly kept God's standard. And here's what I would tell you. What Jesus Christ did at the cross is so amazing. It's so great. It's so good. It's bigger than anything that you know. There's no standard that's been broken. There's nothing you've done that God would say, well, I'll forgive that, but you're stuck. His grace is greater than all our sin. Now, I'm not talking about cheap grace. I'm not saying, well, I got divorced and I'm just going to get remarried and blah, blah, blah. And God's got, I'm not talking about cheap grace. I'm talking about I'm divorced and I'll do whatever God wants and I will submit to him and I want what he has and I need all his forgiveness and I need a fresh start and I want to do it his way from this moment on. God will meet you right there and he will give you all the grace you need. Because I see nowhere in the Bible where you're being called by your former identity after you're walking in the grace of God. You are loved, you are cherished, you are holy, you are honored, you're forgiven. It's who you are. So that's what God says. Will you obey my word? One of the ways that you know that you love God is if you keep his word. And you keep his word, especially when it hurts. I remember when I started tithing, I didn't feel like it. I remember when I was throwing immorality out of my life, I didn't feel like it. There's never come a time where I've walked out of sin into holiness where I, quote, felt like it. If you're waiting for the feeling, you're never going to get there. You do it because you fear the Lord and you know you're going to stand before him and give an accounting for every thought, word, and deed you've ever done. And so you tell the Lord, Lord, help me because I can't get there by myself. Will you choose today to live obediently to his word? I mean, you prayed, we prayed that you would hear God's word and you would live obediently to it. Are you willing to do that or is that just lip service? It's good until it affects your business. It's good until it affects your marriage. It's good until it affects your kids. It's good. I don't like that part. No, you need to like all of it because God's growing us in his grace. And here's what we know. Like when you walk in identity with the Lord, he tells us in Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. It's the enemy that always tells you, if you live moral, you're never going to marry the right one. If you live moral, your wife's going to take advantage of you. If you do the right thing, your husband's never going to see. I mean, he's always lying. You do the right thing, and here's what you have. You have Almighty God of the universe backing everything you do for him. Amen? Obey his truth wholeheartedly. Go all in with Jesus. I don't know anything of this cheap grace. Like just fire insurance, Jesus. I don't know it. I don't see it anywhere in the Bible. I mean, when Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. In order to be a follower of Jesus, you die to you to serve him. You get married, you die to yourself to serve your spouse. I mean, the Christian life is all about death to me and glory to Jesus until he takes me home. Now, if we get those first four choices, let me give you this fifth one. I think this could be the most important for our body of people. And here's what I want you to choose today. I want you to choose honesty and authenticity over shame. I want you to choose honesty and authenticity over shame. Now, here's what the people answered. They answered like most church people answer when he said, choose for this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And all the people are like, okay, we'll do the same. It's very motivating. People answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is who brought us up with our fathers." And they go through all of this history of everything that God's done. And Joshua said to the people, "You're witnesses against yourselves," in verse 22, "that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord and to serve him." And they said, "We're his witnesses." He goes on to tell them, he's like, you can't do this by yourself. Let me tell you, you can't reach the standard that God has by yourself. You need God inside of you to do it. You can't go work on being a good husband by yourself. If you could do that, Christ died for nothing. You can't be a wife that submits to your husband in all things without the Holy Spirit in your life. It's impossible. You can't be a single and live a moral life. It's impossible apart from the Spirit of God in you. But with the Spirit of God in you, all things are possible. But you know what they were saying? They're like, no, we're good. We're gonna work at this, Pastor Jeff. Joshua, we're going to get this thing done. We're going to do it. He's like, you're witnesses against yourself. And notice what he tells them in verse 23. It's a damning verse. He says to them, "Now therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." Here they are saying, no, we're for God. Oh, we're totally for the Lord. We're going to serve him wholeheartedly. We're going to do everything. Joshua's like, you're witnesses against yourself. Totally. We're witnesses to the Lord. Then put away all your gods that you have in your hands right now. The gods in your tents, the gods that you're serving, the gods that you're thinking about while you're hearing this sermon. If you're really going to serve the Lord, forsake all the other gods and serve the Lord. That's the gospel. Jesus is not an additional god to all the other gods you serve. Jesus Christ is the only one worthy of your allegiance, to the exception of every other one. Kick them all to the curb and serve the Lord only. Amen? That's what he says. But here's what happens in church. You remember when God created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh, and he created male and female. They had the first wedding. They were both naked and they felt no shame. We preached on all this. What happens in Genesis chapter 3? Satan says, did God really say that? Doubted God's word. They doubted God's word. They doubted God's authority. They doubted God's goodness. They ate off the forbidden fruit and sent it into the world, and dying, they begin to die. The reason we die today is because of sin. But that wasn't all that happened on that day. You remember what happened? In Genesis 2 at the end, they're both naked and there's no shame. Their differences, no problem. I mean, we like it. This is great. God made it. It's good. Now what do? Once sin entered, they cover up all their differences. And not only do they cover themselves, what do they do next? They hide. And what sin causes people to do when they see God's standard and they're unwilling to keep it, what do? You cover yourself and then you hide. You know what that's called? Shame. I'm embarrassed that as a single, I haven't lived the way God wanted. And if I were truly exposed, I would feel such shame in my life. So I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to speak Christianese when I walk into the church. I'm going to act Christian, but I'm going to hide from everywhere. Here's how you know you're hiding. When people ask you to serve in the church, you're like, no, I'm busy right now. I'm doing this. Because you know that if you ever served alongside people that ask you genuine questions, you couldn't be authentic. You don't join a cadre for fear people will actually ask you genuine questions. And you're the one in the group that when people say, what's really going on? You make up stuff like, well, just pray for me that I read my Bible more this week. Because I can't tell you about the fact that what's really going on in my heart is my marriage is imploding. And it's because I don't know what to do. And I jacked it up 3 years ago and I still can't recover from it. But I can't tell anybody about that because they look down on me. Shame. There are a bunch of you here that aren't serving the Lord because you're cloaked in shame. There's a bunch of you here that feel like, I could never serve the Lord because you're cloaked in shame. I could never be a pastor. I'm telling you, 30 years ago, I'm at the University of Illinois and I'm starting to feel tugged by the Lord. I'm like, not me. I could never do, shame. I can never tell people where I've been. I can never tell people where I was. Shame, shame. And when you're cloaked in shame and you're hiding, the voice of the enemy is really, 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 really loud. And he tells you, it's not going to work for you. It's not going to work for you. You're only going to be average. You're only going to be this. You can never be authentic. You can never be real. And he can lie like that, but not a brave. Be authentic. You can be authentic here because anytime there's genuine contrition, not just like, oh, I feel bad. I shouldn't have done that. No, I'm broken because I don't know what to do. And God, I need your help. And God, I need you to show up in my marriage because I don't know how to do it. And I need you to show up in my singleness because I don't know how to date morally. And I need you to do this because I never had anybody model this for me. And I'm so broken that I didn't do it right. God's grace is greater than all your sin. He will wash you, cleanse you, make you new, and give you the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, to work in and through you. The only group of people we have here at Brave are dead, broken sinners who've been made alive by Christ. Why are you hiding? It's true of me. It's true of you. And so what I've been praying about all week as we end this family series is that you get over your shame. The only way to get over your shame is with honesty. It's only honesty. I mean, you remember the woman that was caught in adultery that was dragged in front of those that were going to stone her? Remember the woman that was caught in the bleeding condition? That's like, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I can't let anybody know because I'm living in such shame. I'm just going to crawl around the ground and try to grab him and then I'll sneak away. Remember that? Remember King David? Yeah, I'll just hide the fact that I had Uriah killed. I'll hide the fact that I slept with Bathsheba and got her pregnant. I'll just cover it all up because it's so shameful. Remember that? And what happened? When Jesus met that woman, he said, "Woman, where are your accusers? They're not perfect in keeping the law. Whoever's perfect in keeping the law, you go ahead and cast the first stone." Drop, 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 drop. Woman caught in the bleeding condition. He's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. And he stops because he felt power go out. And he says, "My daughter, you're healed." And then what does David say? David doesn't hide it for very long because when Nathan exposes his sin, he doesn't back up. He doesn't double down. He doesn't say, "I didn't have sexual relations with that woman." You know what he says? He says, "Against you and only you, God, have I sinned and done what's evil in your sight." All day long, it was like a weight on me. It was so heavy. It was like I couldn't even do anything. But when I called out to you and told you I had done wrong, I felt the refreshment come through my life. That's why we meet. That's why we glorify God. That's what the gospel's about, so that you can be set free. And anyone who the Son sets free is free indeed. And if you're living in shame and hiding your embarrassment and say, "I could never let anybody know that," you're not living the freedom that Jesus Christ has. And that's when the enemy lies to you and says, "Well, no wonder you don't like Christianity. It's really boring, isn't it? It's no good. It's because of shame." And I just feel like the Lord wants to remove a cloak of shame off of Brave Church today. We're gonna always herald the standard of God. We're not gonna back down. We're not gonna make excuses for his standard. But we're also going to herald the gospel of Jesus Christ, that wherever you come short, if you're genuinely contrite, God will meet you where you're at and he will make up the difference and set you on a new plane, because that's what our God does. If your marriage is at the brink of divorce, I have good news for you. God's grace is greater than that. If you've been divorced and you're like, "I'm so lonely, and if I had to do it all over again, there's no way." And by the way, I've never met one person in thousands of people that have gotten divorced for myriads of reasons and all. I've never met anybody that said, "I had a very amicable one and it's great and we get along even better and my kids are awesome and it's been a lot of fun." I've never met one person say that. But here's what I would say. You've been through that. God's greatest is greater than that. You're single and you want a spouse, but you haven't lived morally. God's grace is greater than all your past. And for the women that are out there, say, "Well, I already slept with him and now I'm going to keep being good to him because I want to at least marry him, because that's better than the nothing that I would have if I didn't keep." His grace is bigger than that. You don't have to be stuck in your shame and your embarrassment and hide it and cover it and pretend that everything's good. You come to the cross, you receive his blood, you openly confess your sin before him, and you get free. Choose that today. Choose that every day. The world has enough Pharisees. The world has enough people that are walking around naming Jesus with their lips when their hearts are far from him, and not enough people that can honestly say, "I know the truth, and the truth has set me free."
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, "God's Plan for Progress, Choose Well Today," from the series Family Fortified, showing you that worship isn't just about singing at church, it's about what we prioritize. Before we say goodbye, we want to remind you that when you give a gift to keep teachings like this one going out to you and others, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. That's PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thanks again for joining us today.